fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. We're back in the building. It's those 5-0 number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. And you are here with Lamar Lovelace, Big George Foster. Graham Coffey's out of pocket right now. He may pop back on. But Big Foss, what's going on?
As you all know, the University of Georgia Bulldogs, they are undefeated.
Let them know, Foss. Let them know.
They have not lost a game in 600 some odd days.
Speak. Preach, brother.
Hey, I'm preaching today. 600 some odd days, they have not lost a game. I do not know what it feels like to mourn a Georgia loss. This is absolutely absurd. This is crazy. Like, we haven't had too many bad years, but like, still, I don't know what this feels like. This is crazy. When's the last time you woke up on a Sunday morning kind of ticked off that the Dogs didn't do what they were supposed to do? It's been a long time, ain't it?
Foss.
It's been a long time, ain't it, Lamar?
It's been a long time, but there are some fans that are waking up ticked off on Sunday regardless because the Dogs ain't winning the way that they want them to win. I mean, we got to be honest about it. We got to, you know, I'm like you. You know, rich people problems. I mean, look, again,
rich people problems.
Some people wake up say I got a billion in the bank. Some people say I got 999 million in the bank, but it's still close to a billion. But we got some dog fans out there that's saying that neither one are worthy of being in the bank. I don't understand it.
I don't know, man. Like, listen, all I know is we are undefeated again so far this year. Whether people realize it or not, after this game, we'll be halfway through the season.
I was just thinking that. Undefeated. Man, we on the same wavelength.
Considering we do what we're supposed to do this weekend with Kentucky, that's crazy. Half of another season is almost over, and the Dogs are still undefeated.
Already gone. Undefeated. 5-0, number one ranked. Yes, there are some people out there that believe the Dogs should not be number one in the country. There are some national people, you know, putting in their votes that the Dogs is number two, number three, number four. But, you know, my point is, man, is that it don't care how you get it done. You just get it done. As long as you're winning, you're winning. And so if you're the number one team to start the season, how could you fall from being the number one team midway through the season or any other way through the season? They're doing what they got to do. And that's what kind of bothers me about all this national stuff, even about the people with Dog Nation that are just like, oh, my gosh, we losing. And I'll be the first person. I could bring my 8-year-old in here right now, and he could tell you. I was like, man, what is going on? What is happening up there in Auburn? What is going on with this? What's going on with that? But at the end of the day, I still feel so confident because I know closers close. And I drink coffee every day, and I know Kirby Smart does too. So closers close. They get that good cup of coffee, and they continue to go 5-0, undefeated.
Yeah. You just go back to work. You figure out what you didn't do great, and you go fix it.
Facts.
There's the standard there, and I know they leave every game and go back to the drawing board and see what they can do better than they did the last game. And there have been a number of things that have gotten better since the season started, and I feel like they're going to continue to do that. You know, I was down there on the weekend. A lot of orange, a lot of blue, you know, a little bit of like that. Listen, Auburn, the team in Auburn, the fans, they showed up like they had a point to prove. And I was happy about that. It wasn't one of those deals where they're just there to have fun because they know they're gonna lose. No, this is still a robbery. Still a robbery. You know, they were still talking trash. We walk into the game and stuff from the tailgate, still talking trash. I enjoyed it. And you know, and I was down there this weekend, and at no point in that game was I, you know, concerned. And this is real. This is real talk for me. I just understand football, and understand, you know, rosters. You know, Georgia on Georgia's worst day, they're going to be very hard to beat. You know, as you've seen, you know, we've been kicked in the teeth several times this year, and look what happened. Yeah. We just fight back. They're gonna be hard to beat. It's kind of like this. Yeah, I was like, okay, we tied the game up. You know, it was 2020. We're about to go win this game. Like there was zero doubt in my mind that they were gonna drive down, score, and keep them from scoring. Huh. That's because that's what that team has shown me.
Right.
You know, I can't go off anything else, because for the last 600 some odd days, they showed me that they win games. Not that they can win games. Not that they, you know, have the ability to win games. They literally won every game the last 2 years. You know, especially all of the preseason games, or not preseason, all of the regular season games, they've won 30 something games. You know, yeah. this is like the 34 games, or 34 out of the last 35 games that they won. They showed me they know how to win. So until something happens, you know, differently, you know, my blood pressure pretty low on Saturday. You know what I mean? I am thankful as a black man in America.
Hey man, look, before we go any further, let me say this. Hold on, because we got to pay some bills and get people to follow more of the show. Hey, make sure you click on the subscribe button and forward this link to everyone you know in Dog Nation. Nobody is bringing you better content and guests like we are. Then head over to your favorite social media apps. You got TikTok, you got IG, you got the X. Like and repost the link as well. We are available on all listening streams. Then finally, head on over to Dog Central, the collaboration for the nation with Intel, discussion boards, and the best in the building, the best in the podcast business, bringing you at what we can do week to week with My God a Podcast, with 100 Sanford, with Dog Central, bringing you some Intel video also on YouTube. So we're bringing a lot of different content for you guys. And also, go over to the Roll Up Network, where we got everything. We got the dogs. We got to check in with the ops. You got Florida down there, Florida State, Miami. We got a little Virginia talk. And I think he's trying to get a little Virginia. Georgia Tech, was he saying something about that today for us? He wanted a little Georgia Tech talk. Big Silk. I think you're muted, Foss. You're muted.
Yeah, so you just go on over there. You know, got everything under one umbrella. You know, just talking good football, man.
Yes, sir.
Good football.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, I'm going to get back to what you were saying, man, because I was actually thinking about this. And here's – I got 2 points when it comes to what happened against Auburn, and actually what's happened all season. When you look at the spread and you look at the Dogs being the number one team in the country, we see our talent. We see the roster. We see what this team is capable of doing. I think a lot of national people, even some of Dog Nation, just doesn't realize how much that injury bug has affected this team of being full strength and really, really being able to do what they want to do. I think that's the first thing. When you got nothing but starters everywhere that have been banged up, you got Ladd that just came back into the offense, you got the running backs that have been banged up, that upsets, you know, a lot of what you want to do. It upsets your rhythm in terms of what you want to become and what you want to be throughout the year. And I think a lot of people aren't focused on that. Regardless, though, it goes to show you how good this team really is with the depth that they do have to still be number one, to still be handling their business, even though some people may not think that they played the toughest schedule thus far. But I will say this, maybe because we are so used to this team doing what it's done the last couple years, going into games, we over-evaluate how the win is going to happen. I think I've been guilty of that. Each week I've gone in, and I think you guys have convinced me, whether it be you, Graham, anybody else that I listen to, that week to week, okay, I'm going to look past their deficiencies of what I've seen early on. I'm going to look past some of their depth issues, some of the injury issues, and just say, you know what, this team has still got that heart of a champion. They're just going to do what they got to do and just blow boys out. And it hasn't really happened that way. I think that's where some of the people in Dog Nation kind of lay in that area of thinking, where it's like, maybe this team isn't as good as what they are. I'm not all the way there. This team is still as good as who they could be and will be. It's just that the depth and the ability to overcome the depth is slowing up the actual progression of blowouts that I want to see, that we should see, and they're just winning games. And it kind of goes back to what you said, I think, week one, week two, Foss, when you said this team is going to win, it's just going to be different. Offensively, it's going to be different. Defensively, it's going to be different. They don't have the same guys. They don't have the same leadership. You can't lose a guy like Nolan Smith in the locker room on the defensive side of the ball and just think that you're just going to go out there and replace that guy. You can't lose a Jalen Carter who's going out there manhandling NFL centers and guards on a daily basis now and think that you're just going to replace that. You don't lose a two-time national champion quarterback that was resilient and had and carried the team on his back and think you're just going to just walk all over people. It's not going to happen. And then you just can't lose that many running backs in the backfield and think your running game is just going to be stellar. So, I mean, I'm with you. I just think that they're just going to win. It's just going to look different. It's going to feel different. And I'm going to give Kirby Smart and this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt. Like you mentioned, Foss, it's been 2 years plus winning regular season games. We haven't even gotten to a playoff yet. We understand what's happened in the playoffs, you know, winning four straight, winning two national championships. But when you go back to the regular season, Kirby's got a track record. Whether you like it or not, whether you like the way he wins, whether you like the way that they're closing out games, they're winning. And so that goes to show you that this team, although it may not have the bona fide leader that you want so far that's reared its head, they still collectively can get the job done. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know who the leader is. I'd like to find out. I want to know who that guy is in the locker room that pulls people aside and says, look, man, let's go. Let's get this thing moving. We I ain't trying to lose. I got to know. But you were in the house at Auburn. Did you peep anything from the sideline? I mean, I know you weren't on the sideline, but did you peep anything from where you were sitting? Did you hear anything from your contacts? Who's that guy that's really carrying this team, either offensively or defensively?
I think by example, you have to go with a guy like Brock. Brock Bowers, from everything that we hear about him, he's the consummate professional. You know, he does everything the right way, on time, works hard everybody, or as hard as anybody. He goes into the games with, like, you can tell the way he plays, like, he goes into the game as a killer. You know what I mean? Point blank, period. He's a killer. Mm-hmm. And I think guys have to feed off of that. I didn't like Saturday. I didn't like some of the body language of some of the guys. But, you know, I had to think about, as I sat in those stands and was roasting, it was probably pretty hot out there. Them guys are probably pretty tired, man. And especially when you're trying to defend the run, because that's all Auburn did was run the ball. You know, that can wear on you. Because from my offensive line perspective, I loved it. I loved it when we was just, you know, grind teams up, mm-hmm. chew them up, spit them out. And, like, that takes will. And, you know, I kind of saw some weirdness in our body language on defense some last Saturday, and I ain't quite like that, you know, because that'll get you whooped. But you know, they became, you know, they were resilient. You know, they fought back, especially when they needed to. This team makes the plays that they need to make when they need to make them.
Mm-hmm.
So far, this whole season, you can't deny it. You know, I saw a graphic with, you know, with the amount of third downs that Brock converted Saturday. It was a lot of them over 35, 36, 39, 30, he had a 3rd and 12 in there. He had like, it was like a run of 8, 9 of them. and that's making the plays that you have to make when you need to make them, regardless of what happened, you know, in the game. This team has found out how to make the plays that they need to play, that they need to make to win the game, you know, and that's all you can really ask for as they get healthy and as they get these, you know, inexperienced guys more experience. You know, they have some youth in general, but they're young also in play time. You know what I mean? So they have super duper experience on the team. They're still learning. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Actually, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. That's going to be a good game. You know, do I think Kentucky can come in? Well, do I think Kentucky will come into Athens and beat us? No. You know, that just doesn't happen in Athens, especially with Kentucky. But I think it should be a good game. You know, I feel like a lot of the country, you know, is expecting it to be a really good game. You know, personally, I think Kentucky's still Kentucky. They just play hard. They got good coaches. You know what I mean? But they're not there yet, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you
say, we'll see what happens.
It's funny when you say, you know, the body language. I noticed the exact same thing from afar. You know, by watching that game, you could see almost like a disappointment in their own performance early on, which is good. You know, you don't want guys to just sit there and say, okay, we can just turn it on whenever we want to turn it on. You could sense a disappointment in the first half. You could sense that disappointment even on that first drive when they were moving the football, and then all of a sudden it stalled because everyone thought, okay, they're going to go down here and score. We finally getting over this little hump of not being able to go out there and just run boys off the field. There was some disappointment there. But you did see this team pick it up, and you saw, I love the way Carson Beck stayed steady throughout the entire game. You know, we were down 10-0. Nobody flinched. Nobody actually felt worried about the situation at all. And when you look at, you said this team makes plays when they have to make plays. Brock Bowers was a monster. 8 catches, 157, and a touchdown. But you got to give a lot of props to Carson Beck. Again, fifth time under center. His first time on the road in a big SEC environment. Like you mentioned, it was hot up there on the plains, and he went out there and did what he's supposed to do. 313 yards passing. Again, he doesn't have the running game like we've had in the last few years to really lean on to create a lot of balance. He doesn't have his top receivers out there. Ladd McConkey came back, but still, he's getting his feet wet here in the season. But when you have the ability to go out there and lead this team, whether it be through Brock Bowers or anybody else, you got to give a lot of credit to Carson Beck and how he handled the situation. I know a lot of things have been talked about with Mike Bobo. I thought he called a great game, quite honestly. There were some things that they just had to overcome. And when they did, they did. You got Edwards who got things moving in terms of running the football, which he is special when he's in there. And I think he creates such a balance for this team because defenses don't know how to play Georgia when he's in the game. I think it visibly shows what they're going to do when he's not in the game. They're going to throw the football. It's either going to be a gadget play or they're going to throw the football. But when Edwards is in there, you don't know what they're going to do. They can throw, they can run, play action. They can do a lot of different things when he's in the backfield because he's that special. And not only that, the offensive line doesn't have to play as hard. I mean, let's be honest. They've had some problems in terms of opening up some holes for some running backs. But with Edwards, he gets through those holes. He gets skinny through those holes, right? He's a guy that he only needs a crack to kind of make things happen. And no, he's not giving you the big 40-yard touchdown run or 60-yarder, but he is making 2 yards into 5 yards and making things into manageable second downs and third downs, which are really, really important, especially as you go deeper into the season when you start picking up, you know, a Kentucky next week. When you start picking up Florida a little bit further down the road, and then you got Ole Miss, we got a little bit of a gauntlet coming up. Even though people may not respect the names that they're playing, but they're still formidable teams that can knock you off at any point in time because they got talent too. So I'm excited about the way that they're looking. I'm just going to be different in terms of how I pick my games, because I think it's just going to be a little bit closer than what we thought until they finally get everything rolling. So like this week, it's a 14.5 point spread. I may not pick the way I was picking in the past. I might go a little bit closer, but I still believe them dogs going to make things happen no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be fine. I'm with you. I've been picking it a little bit. I've been picking, you know, those margins kind of far apart, but the point is they're winning, you know what I mean, and so we're gonna be fine moving forward, man.
That's fine.
I appreciate how the guys are competing, you know what I mean, and so we're gonna be fine. It's kind of like I've said all year, man. It's just gonna look different, man. Like, it's just gonna look different. You know what I mean? I still feel like they can beat anybody in the country. It's just gonna be different.
Yeah.
You know what I believe in the roster, and I believe in the staff. I really do.
It's wild. You know, it's funny because we believe that they can beat anybody. And I think a lot of people in Dog Nation do too. I think sometimes, you know, it's just out of blind arrogance where it's like, okay, no, we the dogs, we going to win. But I think if you really evaluate football and you really watch it and you really break it down, this team does have the ability to beat anybody whenever they want, however they want, quite honestly. If they're clicking on all cylinders, put it this way, there's not too many teams in the nation that can say when they're clicking on all cylinders, nobody can beat them. There's not too many teams that can say that. They just don't have the horses. They don't have the overall talent to say something like that. But Georgia, really, truly, if they're clicking on all cylinders, there's nobody that's going to touch them. They just got way too much talent all over the field. There's guys that haven't even really reached the point where the nation could see them. I'm excited. I can't wait to see Ra-Ra Thomas actually hit the field a little bit more. I think the more he learns the playbook, the more he gets acclimated to the system, every time he's in the game, he makes a play. And that's somebody that Brock trusts because he's a big-bodied receiver, but he's got speed, he's got strength, he's very explosive. But that's another guy that we haven't even seen really get off yet. We haven't seen Milton get back healthy yet. We haven't seen some of these other young receivers that they got, and Anthony Evans, Haynes that can get in there. We haven't seen none of those guys even touch the field, and those guys can ball. I mean, they're just explosive, man, and they're great all over. But one of the other things that you did mention, you said, you know, they make plays whenever they have to. Defensively, they do the same exact thing. I mean, I'll be honest. I've been on them in terms of this team has to be better at setting the edge. That's the thing that's killing them right now. The trenches, they have not been as formidable as they have in the last few years. But it seemed to me they have a lot of issues right now setting the edge, and that's where teams are really getting off on them, because otherwise, if you look at it, I think Auburn may have had 80 yards passing, but over 200 and something odd yards rushing the football, but a lot of it came outside of the hash marks. It wasn't up the middle. It was a lot of that stuff they got on the edge, whether it was a quarterback breaking containment, whatever it may be, but Tell me, you know, can you talk about that at all, Foss? Because that's driving me crazy. It's driving a lot of people crazy in terms of what this team is doing defensively. The secondary's been lights out. You got to give it up to them. When anytime anyone throws the football, I mean, it's a opportunity for it to get picked. But defensively up there in the trenches, they have not been as stout. What were your thoughts on that? You're on mute again.
Sorry, it's hard to tell. I wish I had the coach's tape, but I even thought about, man, can some of those old dogs come back and, you know, give them the pep talk, give them some pointers, Jordan and, you know, Trayvon and those guys like that, and so, like, can they come back and talk to them, tell them how they did things and whatnot, you know? But I'm optimistic, again, because of the staff. I'm optimistic that they'll get it right, you know. It's got some new guys in there that's playing a little different roles than they have in the past. They're behind, you know, 3-4 first round guys that preceded them. You know what I mean? So, hopefully they get it together, and I think they will because of the staff that they have. So yeah, I would like for them to set that edge better because there's no reason for us to give up, that much yardage on the edges with the speed that we have.
Yeah, and when you look at this team, you know, giving up that much yardage, that's what puts them in a situation where they're down 10-0 to Auburn, or where Auburn is still in the game. And then I think that's what concerns people this week, as they have Kentucky coming in on Saturday, 7 p.m., another night, you know, between the hedges. But Kentucky, they run the football. That's what they do. That's what Kentucky's always done. One thing about Kentucky, they have not always been a team that gets out there on the edges. I mean, they really like to run between the tackles and grind you and grind you and grind you. And you're hoping that Georgia's depth, interior depth, can slow Kentucky down in terms of their run game, kind of keep your offense back on the field and keep Kentucky's offense off the field. But that's the thing that they have to actually capitalize on this week, stopping the run. Davis had, I think it was, what, 280-something odd yards rushing against Florida. He ate those boys up. He just grinded.
We were watching a little bit of it tailgating before our game, and it's like every time he got the ball, he was ripping off a run.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, and it was – like up the middle a lot too. Now, I don't think anyone's going to be able to sustain, you know, running inside on us, you know, consistently. You know what I mean? So I think it'd be fine there. I just need them to start protecting our edge a little bit better.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is too, you know, like you just mentioned, you said with Davis ripping off runs, Kentucky's been, I mean, albeit their, you know, their schedule has not been, you know, a star-studded cast of teams that they've played, but still, a lot of explosive plays throughout this early five-game season for them. They are 5-0 for a reason, and that's because they've been getting a lot of explosive plays, 75 yards, 56 yards, 55 yards, 58 yards, 59 yards, and those are all various players. That's not just one player. So they do have some guys that they can get out in space. As long as they get a crack, they can make some things happen. But I'm looking for Georgia's speed, team speed, especially the secondary, to really, you know, shut that thing down. I think when you go up against a Georgia and you have a guy like Malachi Starks on the back end, you got a Tyke Smith that's playing that star position, that neutralizes a lot of teams. I mean, those two right there have been special all year. Three interceptions, I think, for each of them, right? I know Starks pulled off the last interception against Auburn. That might be number two for him, but yeah, three for Tyke Smith. So these guys have been special on that back end, and it actually helps the run defense when you got safeties and you got guys that can come up and lay the lumber like those guys can.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by that backfield. 22, 23, and 24. It's crazy how the numbers go in succession like that. And but they're lights out, man. They've been playing really, really good ball. Tyke is the OG back there. He is a was he all conference or all American at West Virginia?
He was all American. Yeah. I think he's either first team or second team all American. Yeah, as a freshman.
Yeah, so we got us a real dude back there with the other real dudes. You know, a lot of experience in that back end. You know, I don't worry about anything on that back end. You know, and Lassiter's playing tough, playing really tough. You know, he's gonna help get those younger guys good together. You know, Everett. You know, he has his moments where he loses the ball. But I like that he's always there. You know what I mean? He's not getting blown by. He's not getting mossed up every play. He's playing good ball, man. It's some good stuff to take away from, you know, these games we've been playing. You know, there's some good tape out there. You know what I mean? I saw something about Kirby. You know, he was saying that, you know, after the game, you know, he felt better after watching the tape. He felt better about it as far as the defense and you know, the run defense and sending edges and stuff. He said he felt better about it after watching the game. He said, you know, it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard that for many years, and he's right. You know what I mean? I think he'll be fine if he, you know, if we just ball, man. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you brought up Everett, and a lot of people have been on him as well. You know, and again, I think it just comes down to people are so used to this team being dominant, and they really want somebody to be, especially the secondary, after having Ringo, you know, do the chip six and the pick six for the championship, and then he did not have the great year that people anticipated he was going to have last year. I think people are looking for somebody to actually step into his shoes and then eclipse what he has done and did over the last few years.
Listen, I'm telling you what I know to be true and what I've heard over the, you know, the course of Kirby's tenure at Georgia. That defense is not easy to learn. It's a lot on the plate for those guys. It's a lot on the plate. You know, some might say it's too much, you know, but that's the standard. That's what allows them to play good defense, get the stops when they need them, and, you know, win two national championships in a row. So it's a lot is asked of those kids. I I've heard that over the years. A lot is asked of them. And so it takes, you know, guys that know what to do and when to do it at all times, or you won't play. You know what I mean? So those youngsters we got, they end up playing. If they do what they're supposed to do, they end up playing, and they're going to be better when they actually get the chance to play, you know, because right now they're learning. And that's, you know, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Well, people, I mean, they might want to go back and look at the tape and see the type of play that Everett actually made. People forget, if he doesn't knock that ball away, we're in a tighter ball game than what we think we are. I mean, again, that's great defensive play, great defensive back play by him. And every year, you can go back to the last few championship years, there's always been a play, there's always been a game that actually has changed the complexity of the actual game or the season. that could be one of those ones you look back and you say, dang, you know what I mean? Like, this kid made that play, knocked that ball away at the last moment. It changes everything.
Yes. That play was huge.
Yes. The momentum was going Auburn's way. They make that completion. Everything kind of swings back in their direction. But again, it just goes back to what you said. You know, they're making plays whenever they have to make plays. They're making things happen whenever they have to make things happen, whether it be offensively, defensively. Heck, you could even go back to Woodring last weekend, making the big kicks. That was a thought process that everybody had going in. How was the special teams going to be? He goes up there to Auburn, a couple big kicks. Again, something you did not have to worry about coming out of there. But this team is going to be just fine. I don't think there's going to be any type of issues with this team moving forward. Obviously, again, you got Kentucky this week. Offensively, as we move on to Kentucky, it's going to be interesting, quite honestly. I want to see what they do against Kentucky's defense. This is the first time I think they're actually going to play a pretty sound defense. Carson's been consistent. Now you got Brock is really coming into being Brock, being Superman again. I think the wide receivers are coming in healthy. I want to see this team be explosive. I really do. I want to see this team against a defense like Kentucky that can actually get after the passer a little bit. They're a little bit more stout in the middle, I think, than Auburn is. I want to see them still be explosive, though. I want to see them get off to a good start at home. The crowd's going to be behind them. A lot of noise, a lot of false starts by Kentucky. I can also always anticipate, but can this offense really get things moving forward? Because I think once they get a fast start, I don't think there's anybody that can beat them anyway once they get a fast start.
Listen, the fast start on offense is going to all boil down to making plays. You know, we have to make the plays. Mm-hmm. We can't have fumbles. We can't have drops. Facts. We can't have, slight overthrows. We can't – all of that stops the momentum. It stops the momentum, and it also puts you behind schedule. The key, mm-hmm. the goal for an offense is to always stay on schedule. You know what I mean? When we get behind schedule, that makes things harder. And by schedule, I mean, you want after first down, you want second and six. After second and six, you want, third and three. Mm-hmm. Those are type of situations you want to be in on those drives. And we've had some critical drops. We've had some miscues. We've had some missed blocks from linemen. We've had some overthrows. We have to clean all of that up. And then offense, explosion will be just fine. We'll be plenty explosive if we just take care of business and make the plays that we're supposed to make. And then they're going to be fine. I understand what how people are seeing this offense, but one is it's better than what they think, and two, just a few, shore up some mistakes here and there, mm-hmm. and jail, more, they're gonna be fine. I'm telling you, because they're not half bad right now.
No, I would say that they're definitely not half bad, especially when you're still undefeated, and you're beating teams even at your own game. Not at their game, but at your own game. Whenever you want to turn things on, they turn it on. Whenever they want to throw the ball downfield, they become explosive. Whether it's running the game, they want to grind it out, they'll grind it out. I'm like you. They're just. They're just winning games. And I think that I'm just speaking for Dog Nation. I'm speaking for a majority of people that want to see explosion. And I get it. I'm right there with you. I want to see, an explosive, clean game. And who knows when we're going to get that. But in the meantime, you know what? I don't mind still grinding out victories and still marching on to number three. I don't mind it. I don't mind the process. A matter of fact, enjoy the process because it's different. You know, what happens? Let's just put it this way. Carson Beck is a junior. What happens as Carson Beck grows and he decides to come back next year? Let's say you win a national title. Let's say, you know, maybe you don't win a national title, but let's just say you do. Now you got a seasoned quarterback coming back, a senior quarterback who's rocking the way he's rocking with a lot of explosive weapons that are all coming back, with the exception of a Brock Bowers who should not come back no matter what. I mean, this team is going to be even better next year when you look at them on paper, quite honestly. So there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack when you look at this team. It's interesting.
I hate that I even think like that sometimes in terms of, okay, what if we don't win the national championship this year? Mm-hmm. But, man, we're going to be good next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, isn't that like, they're going to be good. They're going to be a really good team next year, you know, because the young talent just has to get, you know, they have to get their feet wet and get immersed in the program properly.
Right.
You know, before they can take that next leap, you know what I mean? And that will be next year and beyond. But I still want to get that third in a row.
Hey, that'd look, you awesome. You got to say it like Dion said. You better catch us now. If you don't catch us now, it's going to get worse.
You better catch us now. We're undefeated, yeah. And you still better catch us now. It's going to get ugly. You know, it's going to get ugly. I truly believe that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, we're still waiting for our guest to show. I'm not sure. He might be having technical difficulties. I'm not sure about that. But in the meantime, let's give a little prediction, Foss. Let's give a little prediction on the game on Saturday. We are talking again. It's Kentucky. It's Georgia. Both 5-0. Mark Stoops-led team coming into Athens this weekend. Between the Hedges is going to be a good game Saturday night. So everybody relax all day and kick your feet up and then get ready to do what we do on a Saturday night. Georgia comes in at a 14.5 point favorite. I don't like the spread. I just think that this, you know, Kentucky's a running team. They have been able to run the ball effectively. I'll have to be honest again, until my dogs show me that they are actually able to come out more explosive, I'm just going to anticipate that they don't come out fully explosive. They don't come out fully lackadaisical. So I'm going to actually say that this team doesn't grind out a victory, but they methodically choke out a victory. I'm going to go 26-21 Georgia. Closer than what we think, but yet still far enough away that, you know, we won comfortably. What are your thoughts?
I say, I'm not mad at the spread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As we get through these injuries and get people more acclimated, I think this, 14, what is it? You said it's 14 and change, you know,
14 and a half.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway, I was thinking that, you know, they're a running team. Going to try to chew up some clock. We're definitely going to try to force them into passing, you know, and that's not their strong suit. But I like the spread. And I was thinking, I've been thinking like 31-14. Like that's kind of like what I'm thinking. Like, we hit a few of the plays we're supposed to hit last week, we scored 30-something. You know, we scored 30-something. If we hit a few of the plays, if, you know, we continue to marching, you know, through that Delp, you know, fumble. We don't overthrow Delp on that deep pass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, I can't remember how that drive ended, if we got points or not, but
they had to punt the ball.
Yes. So, you know, things like that happen and they take away from your point total. So I think we can definitely get 30 something on Kentucky. And I don't think they score over two times.
Mm. Okay. You know what, you just brought up something before we go further. Delp. That's a big time, you know, a big time fumble by Delp. Earlier in the game, I think everyone was a little bit discontent that Carson Beck missed Delp down the middle, which would have been a touchdown. But at the same time, you know, it's on both players. He's got to throw a better pass. Delp has to adjust to that ball. But it goes to what I've been telling people all along, especially when it comes to wide receiver recruiting, because we keep hearing about, you know, Georgia's not getting the five-star wide receiver, the twitchy guy. Nobody wants to come and play in Athens because, you know, they don't throw the ball to the wide receiver. Let me remind people that the number one tight end that's ever played the game on a collegiate level is in Athens. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why they're not throwing the ball all around to all these wide receivers and everybody else getting all these crazy touches. Just because Oscar Delp is there and he's a great young ball player, along with some of the other guys that they brought in, this is not going to be a tight end dominated offense. It's just not. It's going to be a balanced offense. They're going to utilize the tight ends a lot because they got very athletic tight ends, guys that can go get the ball. But there ain't many guys that are Brock Bowers. Just put it that way, man. And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there for people to remember that you're witnessing greatness. You know, I sat my little 8-year-old down next to me and I said, look, I've seen a lot of great players play. And I had a chance to sit down there and watch those guys play with my dad. And my dad would say, look at that, man. Look at this guy right here. He's one of the greatest that ever played. And it was a special moment. I sat there and I watched. You sat there with my son. And I said, you are witnessing the greatest tight end that's ever played collegiate football right now. Take this to heart and really, you know, focus in on this cat right now, because what he's doing is unreal. The one hand catch that he even made, they got called back.
Man,
I mean, that's not normal.
That dude was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not normal.
In text from during the game, all my Auburn friends,
mm-hmm.
and our friend of the show, my cousin Takeo Spikes.
I saw him up there.
He's up there in the booth. With all the who's who, mm-hmm. from Auburn, up there with Chuck. You know,
I saw him.
Charles Barkley. You know, he was like, we got a touchdown. We're not used to that. Charles Barkley always keep it real, huh? Always.
I can't believe we scored. We scored. I can't believe we did that.
He said, we're not used to that.
Yeah.
Just back to Auburn, I can't put my finger on, I can't understand how a Power 5 offense can be so inept at passing the ball.
Mm.
Like, you can, today's game, you can look up and get 100 yards.
Yeah, man.
They haven't thrown for 100 yards against a Power 5 team since last year.
That's they're rough. They're definitely bad. Rough.
That's pretty bad. That's why I thought we were going to beat them so bad. I was like, okay, they're definitely not going to be able to run the ball. They can't pass the ball. So, you know,
Right.
I thought it was going to be a massacre. You know, they came out and, you know, they took advantage of our mistakes and, you know, they, you know, started grinding things out.
Foss, so I think our guy has entered the building.
Yeah.
As we can get this thing.
We can chop it up with the great.
Let's see. With one of the greats. One of the greats for sure. But you know what? I got some theme music for him.
In the entire football, college football universe.
Yes, sir. History. Yes, sir. But I got theme music for him. And everything, I had to go research something, you know, bring it back. So here we go.
He is a DP.
That's right. He is a DGD. He is a college Hall of Famer. He is an NFL alum. He is a man of all men. He is a husband. He is a father. He is a legend. He is none other than David Pollack, who's back on the show. So happy to have you back, DP. What is going on, boss man?
What up, big dogs? No, excited to be here, man. Big Fizzle, how we doing?
We're doing good, man. Like I say, every show, man, for the last 600 and some odd days, we are undefeated. Woke up and the dogs have won another game. No matter how you cut it.
Ain't it fun, bro? Ain't it fun? Like, I remember going into last year and everybody was like, hey, man, how good are we going to be? I'm like, I don't care. Like, we got a ring, cuz. Like, I ain't worried about this year. And then you go win another one. And now it's like, man, even more so. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, there's a standard. But, man, oh, man, like, soak it up and enjoy it. Because the last 2 years has been, whoa, it's been fun.
Let me ask you something about this year. I've maintained that this team is obviously looks different than last year's or the last 2 years. And this team is going to win, but this team is going to win differently. It's not going to look anything like the last 2 years because some of the key pieces have moved on, and those key pieces have a certain identity, a certain imprint on the game, you know. Yeah. You know, Stetson has his imprint on the game. You know, those behemoths from the inside. You know, Carter 1 year, and then Davis before Carter. You know, then well, Carter been balling since he got there. But you catch my drift. Though they add a little different to the game, a little different. However you want to way of playing to the game, and it's just going to look different this year. But I do think they can win. I think a lot of people are in panic mode because, you know, it's because it looks different, you know. But they have to show me differently than they've shown me the last 2 years. Yeah. You know, until they show me they can lose a game, you know, I don't have any other way to look at them other than winners.
Well, it's crazy to watch the game, like, you know, the Auburn game, nip and tuck, the South Carolina game, nip and tuck. At no point did I think we would lose the game. And in the past, that ain't how I view Georgia football. In the past, I was like, oh, God, here we go. So I think there's some of that.
Here, like, we go again.
Like, there's something to the belief. Listen, man, you had an all-time special group that can't be replaced. Like, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter. Like, not only did they have impeccable football ability and characteristics, they also had character. And when I say that, they had football character. They didn't cheat the game, man. They played their arses off. They were tough. They loved each other. Like, they had a really good group in that locker room. And I'll say this, man. This group, a lot of the linebackers in the middle are the same. But they're not the same players they were because they ain't got those boys in front of them doing what they used to do. They made the game easy. They made the game simple. They made the reads very easy to understand. Like, now there's a lot more gray. Like, now when you rush the passer, it looks different. Now, you know, stopping the run looks different. So, you know, it's a new group that's finding their way. But what I'll say is, if you flip it to the offense should look the same. The offense should not look any different than it's looked. The offense should look, by the end of the season, exactly like last year did, because it's not a freshman quarterback. He's been around the block. He's been around the block for a long time. You still got the ultimate cheat code in the game. Brock Bowers, like Captain America, bro. Like, just throw him the freaking football. Like, let's not make this compliment. It's funny. I was watching the game with my wife, and she was like, why don't they give it to him every play? And I was like, she's like, Bowers. She's like, just give it to him every play. And I'm like, man, you can't do that. And I was like, she got a point. Just give him the ball.
You got a point.
I mean, they put him in fullback and they gave it to him on a third and short. He still got it. Like, I think it's crazy. Go ahead, bro.
The Lakers had Kobe Bryant. But when they had Shaq, what did Kobe do? He ran down that court and dumped it into the big fella, because the big fella could not be stopped. Period. Yeah. So your wife had a point. give it the football, Shaq.
Hey, DP, you were talking about this defense, man. You were talking about it's not the same because you lose all those big guys up in the middle. What can this defense do differently, since they did lose those guys up there in the middle, that actually will impact or have a greater impact as the season goes forward? Because one of the things I was talking about with George, it hasn't been the interior, quite honestly, that's been giving up a lot of yards. It's been guys that are setting the edge, fail to set the edge. That's been their Achilles heel so far. So what can this defense do to kind of get back on track?
Well, and this isn't disrespect to any of the guys that are there, but like, at some point you gotta let the puppies play. And I think there's a lot of young cats that got to get experience and got to get time. I love seeing some of the guys out there, and I know who they are, and I've seen them for years. But there's also some puppies that just got to understand the game more and get experience. And once they do, they'll bite. Like a puppy that'll bite later on the season with experience, it'll bite harder, you know, and it'll understand what's going on. So I think you play a lot of the young guys. What they've done pass rush wise, as you watch, they're bringing a pass rush package now. Like, that didn't used to happen. You didn't used to have to scheme that. You used to just, Nolan Smith can rush the passer, Adam Anderson can rush the passer. Like, I'm good. I didn't have to do that. But now you're looking at it like, okay, I got to get my best guys on the edge, whether it's Marvin Jones Jr., whoever it is, I got to get some younger guys in here, some more skilled guys to rush the passer. I think what you have is you have the best safety tandem in the country. You have another safety, by the way, in Dan Jackson, that's a freaking football player. That's a really good player. To me, I think at some point, Malachi has to continue to play more in the slot. Buller has to play more in the slot, more near the line of scrimmage. Because I'll be honest, guys, I can sell you a bunch of crap, but Big Fizzle knows that ain't my style. And I'm just telling you, like, what I watched last week, it should scare you coming into this week, because Kentucky's better up front. Kentucky's got a better running back. Kentucky's got a full sense of an identity of who they are. Kentucky's defensive line is big and physical. So I just think I'm glad this is at home. I'm glad this is a night game, because you get more juice, more of the fans, more time for them to hydrate throughout the day and bring it on night and really make it a home atmosphere. So I am definitely not overlooking it. Listen, I'm a dog person. I'll always take dogs over cats any day of the week. But don't overlook these cats this week.
DP, I was just telling Foss that, you know what I mean? I think early on, everybody was looking at the spread and they were saying, of all the games that they played, Georgia should cover the spread. Georgia should blow this team out. Georgia should blow this team out. And each week, I kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt until I kind of saw what this team is right now, right? They're a team that's growing. They're a team that's learning. They're a team that's trying to find their identity. And when you come into this week against Kentucky, again, like you just mentioned, a team that is better in the trenches, a team that runs the ball much better and always has underneath Mark Stoops, this is a game that can be dangerous, but I am glad that it is at home. I'm glad that things can actually, you know, we can actually get Dog Nation behind them and get Sanford Stadium behind them. But offensively, I think at the same time, I think if they come out fast, if they come out with a lead, it actually helps this defense to actually be able to attack that they want to, the way that they want to. They haven't been able to attack all year, quite honestly, because they've been basically just trying to hold the water, you know, hold the water from the bridge.
Well, I'll say this, though. When you look at the offense and you watch them, it became incrementally better last week. Like, do people understand why? Like, why did Brock Bowers have so much space? Well, Brock Bowers had so much space because he had Ladd McConkey next to him all the time. Mm-hmm. Ladd knows how to run routes. Ladd knows where to be. Ladd is a great wide receiver. Like, he's good after the catch. He's a good blocker. Like, bringing him back in the lineup, it's no surprise Carson Beck had his best day. He looked his best. Like, I'm not surprised by that. The offensive line's got to be more physical. Like, it's just got to be a unit that's got to move people more. You got to be able to depend on the run game more. Edwards makes this team different because he's the best back by far. Bell's the next best guy, by the way. It needs to be Edwards and Bell toting the rock because they run hard. They'll make people miss. They'll get extra yards that's not blocked. They've got patience to set up runs. So I do think if you're going to take a spot from last week and you're going to look at something, I think Ladd and Bowers on the same side is a problem because of the experience and knowledge and all the time they've had together.
You know, you mentioned that this offense is going to look the same. What have your thoughts been so far about Mike Bobo running this offense? You know, Todd Monk is no longer there, but you do have Mike Bobo back in the building. What have been your thoughts so far? Because there's, you know, again, people have been split in terms of how they think the offense is producing, and obviously it's always going to go back to Mike Bobo.
Yeah, and that's okay. Bobo gets paid all the money to do that, and that's okay. He can take the criticism. He's a big boy. But I think that they've done a good job. I really don't look at the tape and see a bunch of I see aggressiveness, which I like. I see aggressiveness a lot on first down, which I really like. Last week, what I saw, what I really liked, and I better see it this week too, a lot of perimeter run game. That needs to continue. Everybody starts to stack it up, and they want to play those tight fronts, and they want to get inside. Like, I want to run the football a little bit, a C-gap right outside a little bit. So I think he's done a good job. I think he's bringing Carson Beck along. I think he's trusted him. I think he's going to force-feed Brock Bowers the football when it matters, which I absolutely love. But I don't look at this offense, and I don't think it's poorly coached. I think it's well-coached. I think there's more plays that have been there on the field that we've taken advantage of, and whether that's Carson Beck being young and missing Delp last week right open down the middle, that's a surefire touchdown. Not seeing things that, you know, double moves early on in the season that you want to see and things that you can take advantage of. But I'm a fan of what I've seen from Bobo thus far. I don't think he's let this team down.
I'm with you, DP. People, I don't think the average Joe understands what they're looking at when they see this offense. I think this offense has done – they've done what they're supposed to do, you know. Like I was telling before you came on, I was telling Lamar that this offense would be even more explosive if we make the plays that we're supposed to make. Like you said, like the overthrow to Bowers. I'm not to Bowers, but to Delp.
Delp.
You have the fumble by Delp. You know, we ended up having to punt that ball away. You know, you have linemen missing blocks. You know, we have linemen, we have a unit, they have to all be on the same page. So if you got four guys doing it right and one guy doing it wrong, you know,
you're wrong.
Like it's hard to beat that. You know, so once this offense gets to rolling, you know, and having everybody on the same page, and even I saw Kirby make a statement, like I believe it was at the end of the game, about Beck and asking him how Beck was doing. Like, and he was in so many words, essentially saying, I think he did well. You know, they end up coming around. He finally started looking backside versus cover two. I thought Bobo was gonna kill him. You know what I mean? Those are his words. It's like he finally looked backside on cover two. I thought Bobo was gonna kill him for a minute.
Yeah,
you know,
like these
things like that. This stuff like that you get with experience. You know what I mean? Beck. He's been there, but he's been playing garbage time. You know what I mean? Them real bullets are different, as you know.
Yeah. And there's one component of this offense that's going to go from here to here when it happens. And that's when Lucky gets back at tight end. Because
Lucky
is a dog. Lucky is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Like, he got a little something in his neck. He's one of those guys that, like, Delp, not hating, bro, but if I'm watching your tape, Delp, you ain't real interested in blocking all the time. Like, Bowers is interested in blocking. Like, he'll do enough. He'll stay on guys. He's a pretty good blocker. I ain't going to say he's an elite blocker, but I'm just saying he's a good blocker and more than willing. Yeah. Delp isn't always willing. Lucky?
Yeah.
Lucky's going to come in there, and I think he'll be back a little bit. I think he'll be back this week.
I saw him on the field warming up last week. He was dressed out.
Yeah.
You know, and so he was dressed out.
And that will change the game. That gives you – because, again, what this offense is missing, if you want to talk about what makes this offense different, like, they're running very similar concepts. Yeah, but you ain't got Darnell. You ain't got another cheat code that's a mutant. Like, that literally, when you talk about blocking on the perimeter, like, remember, the rules in football change where you can't cut those guys when they pull out there to block you. So those DBs are having to anchor in on 6'8", 275. Nah, thank you, bro. Like, so I think having Lucky, I think, will change the dynamics of this offense. It'll give you a guy that will absolutely move people against their will. And I hope he's back this week. And I think we'll see him this week, and he'll make a big difference.
Listen, I played with the triplets.
Tough, by the way?
Huh?
Were they all tough?
Tough guys. Very, very tough awesome guys.
I know that.
You know what I mean? So, you know, he gets it honest. You know, they were not, neither one of them was a pushover. Some really tough guys. So I'm looking for. I had heard about him during the summer too, and he was supposed to be pushing Delp for. You know,
he's gonna be getting some reps. I can promise you that. Like, that needs to happen. If you're watching it, and listen, I mean, you call a spade, like the blocking from the other tight end needs to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, got to.
You know, with Lucky possibly coming back and actually being a major contributor as we go forward in the season, how is that going to impact the offense, in your opinion, DP? More for the running game? Because, again, we haven't gotten any running backs back, or more for an explosive passing game or opening up things on the outside for some of these other receivers?
Oh, it ain't going to be the passing game with him. That's not his – I don't think that's going to be where you're looking at him. Like, he's going to bring the physical element in the run game. Like, he's going to make our run game a lot better. He'll be blocking edges. He'll be doing he'll do a good job. Like, talk about Darnell. He's another guy that's going to push those little guys around outside. Kind of, listen, when you go 12, like, you've got decisions to make. Because Georgia, if you're in 12 personnel, which is, you know, one running back, two tight ends, if you go 12 personnel, you want to treat Bowers like a tight end, do it at your own risk. But because he's going to run by your linebackers. So you bring in nickel a lot of the times, and you got Lucky as your inline tight end. You got Bowers as your wing back. Like, and there's a lot of things you can do to take advantage of Bowers' skill set even more and can feature him. But it will definitely open things up. But I think the run game would be the biggest increase.
You know, Foss mentioned we're five games in. I mean, heck, we're almost halfway through this season. And we hate to look all the way down the road. Obviously, the big deal was the three-peat. But is there any type of hiccups that you see along this season that could really stop Georgia from moving forward to where it wants to go, to the promised land?
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm glad this week is at home, but going to Tennessee, I think is going to be a big deal. You look at that offense, it's an issue. It's a problem. I said it, Aaron Murray, I did his show week one, and he was bloviating about our defense and X, Y, and Z. Like, there's a lot I got to see happen on this defense. And there's a lot that's got to grow up. And I got to figure out if they can consistently rush the passer. I got to figure out if they can create havoc plays and get tackles for a loss. I got to figure out if these linebackers can read, diagnose, make plays off of multiple looks. Like, you know, Auburn did a good job pulling guards and stuff. And they froze our backers. And they didn't do a great job. So I think there's – I put it to you like this, bro. There ain't no part of me that's going, oh, yeah, let's just chalk this up. We're going to run the table in the regular season. Like, I think Ole Miss can freaking score. Thank God you got them at home. Thank goodness you got Kentucky at home. going to Tennessee. Like, I think there's going to be plenty of games like that 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 will be in ball games, and they're going to be close games.
What gives me confidence about this week, probably more so than most, is as you know, as a defender, they most of Auburn's yards as most of Auburn's rushing yards came from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When you're running your quarterback, you have an extra blocker. That's not Kentucky's game. Now, nope. They're physical, but they're going to have to man on man, get it out the mud without that extra blocker, blocking for a quarterback. I think we held Auburn.
That's such a great point, Foss, that people don't understand. But yeah. Not only is it the extra man to block, the quarterback blocks somebody most of the time anyways, because yes. When he does this and you got guys pulling one direction, a guy coming across this direction, it causes so much hesitation and it makes people freeze. I am interested, and I do think that we possibly could handle the running game better this week because this is more almost smashy in the face.
We're going to see what we made of it.
But the QB run game, you're right, man. Like, we were all jacked up, dude. And it was a great job by Hugh because, you know, he started it with the QB being the counter player, the outside player. Second half, he knew exactly what was going to happen with Kirby and company. He inverted it and started running power read, started running the QB up the gut, like reading it to the outside. Like, it was really good job of – listen, that's what he does. That's what Hugh does as well as anybody in the country is scheme up quarterback run game.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. We just got done talking about that. You know, we just got done talking about how Kentucky was able to or Auburn was able to scheme up some things, and how Kentucky just runs completely different. When you look at this game in terms of the physicality, that's my biggest issue. Can Georgia match the physical component of what Kentucky is going to bring? So I haven't really seen that. I don't want to say that they've been soft. That's not what I want to say, because I mean, these guys, you know, are some tough ball players.
I think you're saying it, Paul. So I don't want to say they've been soft, but
I mean, let's just say what it is. I mean, I've been disappointed in that DP. I mean, have you? Because I think these guys up front just have not been as physical as what they should be in the trenches.
Well, and I think you're talking more about the offensive line. I'm assuming you're talking.
Defensive line and offensive line.
And I don't think the defensive line is getting pushed around by any stretch of the imagination. The offensive line, here's what I'll say about our run game. If we're going to be a team that's going to snap the ball in the shotgun and stick the ball in the belly of the running back and run the zone read stuff, for God's sakes, we got to pull it occasionally. Like, the quarterback has to pull it.
Yes.
Because what it does, I'm just telling you, if you watch the defensive ends and what they do, they come flying down the line of scrimmage. And they don't even worry about the backside gap because they're flying in there and making tackles from behind. And you're like, dude, Beck, if you just pull that once or twice, three times a game, I know you ain't Superman and you're not Stetson Bennett.
He ain't slow, though. That's a kicker.
And you can give me seven. You can give me eight, and then you can do your slide. By the way, that slide on the sideline last week, it ticked me off that he slid. Like, it was kind of nut-cutting time. Don't be sliding the sideline, dude. Stay on your feet, run out of bounds, take a hit. We usually cost us, like, 3 yards.
The same thing.
So I'd like to see that addressed, but, man, like, this team is different with Dejon. Like, he makes us so much better because of his patience, because of his physicality when he runs the ball and breaking tackles, like, he's clearly our best runner, but not. I mean, up front, dude, we got to chat. And listen, we shuffled our left guard last week, and we've had to shuffle left tackle, like first starting left guard to right guard, and now you're on your third left guard if you want to think about it that way. So they've done some shuffling up front because Mims is out, and but they definitely need to take over. They need to be physical and playing at home again. Huge, huge advantage. The Dog fans need to be ready.
Well, I'm going to switch gears right now from Georgia. DP, I mean, you're one of the best that, in my opinion, as an analyst. I love listening to you, and you're always honest. What are your thoughts nationally? Right now, the game is kind of changing, right? You got the SEC conferences changing. You got the Pac-12 that's imploded. Big 12's getting bigger. Big 10's getting bigger. What are your thoughts on college football as a whole, even with NIL and, you know, some of the other things going on?
Well, NIL. the transfer portal, what everybody complains about is also what's created parity in college football. It's what's helped everybody level the playing field, because Alabama, watching Alabama get beat by Texas, a lot of those guys that are backups on Alabama's teams are now playing at Texas. Like, they used to sit there for 3 years and develop, or 2 years, and then all of a sudden they'd come in like, who's this next freak? Like, how the heck is he a freak? And why was he sitting on the bench? So it's created more parity across college football. But the SEC is down. Like, you can spin it however you want. It's not what it's been in the past. The out-of-league record speaks for itself. It's been really, really bad. You know, the best SEC showdown we're going to have this year is this weekend of Oklahoma and Texas, right? Like, future members of the SEC, that's going to make it stronger next year when it comes in. But the Pac-12 resurgence, like, how real is that in the future? Obviously, that's been fun to watch. So I think it's just more parity than we've seen. And just in time, like, hopefully we're going to the 12-team playoff, and just in time where hopefully we get to those things and we're like, hey, man, just get me in and I got a chance to win it. That's a cool feeling if you say 6 or 7 or 8 teams can win it all.
Do you like the 12-game format or 12-team format?
I don't give a crap, man. More football is more football. I mean, I'll take more football anytime.
I think we talked about that last year, didn't we? I said, hey, yeah, I'll watch it all.
I watch it all. I'll pay attention to it all. But, I mean, I like the exclusivity of 4. Like, I like the idea of that. I think even if you expand it a lot of times, you're still like those best few. Like, listen, here's the thing. When Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State have their great – when they have their guy at quarterback, great quarterbacks, they're in it. Like, go ahead and put them in it. You're going to put them in the playoff every single year because they recruited a different level than everybody else in college football. And so this happens to be one of those years where you're breaking in new guys at all those spots, and so I think you see a little bit more – parody than you're used to seeing, and that's why we got so many people that are in the hunt. That makes it really, really fun to watch.
Hey, DP,
yeah, I always say you have it at most 6 to 8 teams that might have a chance at it. You know, everybody else is just playing for. It sounds, you hate to say it, you're playing for fun. You know, and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can go to NFL, you can make a good life for yourself.
Hey, man, you go get that swag.
You can get a chance at other things, but as far as the team, huh?
You go get that swag. Like, you get the swags in the game. Yeah. You know what else you get, Foss? The most important, the coolest thing about 12 for me, homie, is you get, instead of getting people that quit on their team and all of a sudden disappear, you know, late in the season, I think the best players will still be playing for their team because they got a chance to go win a championship. Right. That makes the product
right. Better. Yeah, that's another way to look at it too.
Hey, DP, before we let you get up out of here, man, I'd be remiss not to ask you about Colorado. You did bring up the transfer portal. You did bring up NIL. It's a national topic. Deion is doing what Deion's doing out there in Colorado. But what are your thoughts on the Buffaloes, and can he sustain winning the way that he has done, the way he's built the program so far?
Well, I mean, sustain, like, the last 2 weeks have been a wake-up call, right? Like, it's been a, like, listen, you ain't ready for this yet, which is fine, by the way. They've already had a better season.
We knew that.
They already had a better season than they had all of last year. So, like, don't tell me, like, he's underperforming. Like, this is part of, there's levels to this game, right? Like, here's the thing, man. How do you not love Prime? Like, how do you not – like, he is one of one. Like, there is one Deion. There is one guy that had enough swag to walk in the MLB and just go out there and play. Like, to go play receiver, to go return punts, to be growing up as a kid, an Atlanta Falcons fan. Like, as soon as we got an interception, like, find Deion, flip 21 the flipping ball. Like, I mean, there's one guy that is that dude, and he has been that dude. So I'm interested to see how it pans out. Like, you can't sustainably build a program every year in the portal. Like, you're going to have to recruit. You're going to have to develop kids. But if you think Deion is a guy that's all about flash and sizzle, you don't know Deion. Like, you don't know who he is and what he is. Go to one of his practices and watch the way he talks to kids and demands of kids and makes them work hard. Like, so I think that, you know, it was a little bit of a wake-up call. And here's the thing. When you talk like Deion does – the problem is your players got to write them checks. They got to cash them checks that you write, right? Like,
yes, sir.
Talk it, and he's going to bring eyeballs, which is his job, by the way, bring money, bring eyeballs. And so that leads to recruits, which leads to a better football team in the future. The problem is right now, he ain't got the squad really to back it up, and it's made it, you know, kind of difficult on them. But man, I don't see how Deion in football, in college football, is a negative. Like, I can't find that. I can't get down with that. And if you spend some time with Deion, man, I think everybody would love him and love him as a coach and be like, dude, I can get behind that coach for my squad.
Well, DP, let me tell you where I think he's going. I told Foss this last week. He didn't like it. I said it. He's going to Florida. He's going to end up at Florida or Miami. One of those two schools are going to go all in on Deion, and it's going to be an all-out war for recruits.
That will suck for Georgia. I mean, Auburn had a chance, by the way, and could have done that. Deion in the state of Florida, Deion. And by the way, where did he go to school? Florida State. Gets to stick it to Florida State because they didn't hire him either. Like, that would be a kind of a.
Let's keep him out west.
I love what Florida's got going on right now. They got a great football team. Let's not make any changes.
Let's keep him out west.
Hey, DP, before you go, man, first of all, thank you for coming on the show, man. Second thing, I'm still ticked off that ESPN doesn't have you on there. I was ready to boycott, bro, but I mean, I got to watch the dogs. But tell everybody what you're doing right now so we can always support the DGD himself.
It's been cool, man, just a state of pause for me and the family. I got a ninth grader and an eighth grader, so getting to coach my son full-time in high school football, which has been dope. So I'm coaching high school football. I'm doing the motivational speaking thing, which fits my personality to a T. I love it. I love to inspire, motivate, help people try to find the best out of themselves, and whether it's companies and speaking to churches with my faith, because faith is a huge part of my life. So just, yes, hey, man, I'm enjoying it. You know what I love, bro? I finally realized, because Fizzle and I, we were playing. Like, we were playing on Saturdays. We were playing on Sundays. I finally realized how great it is to be on the couch, bro. Like, I have loved Saturdays. Get up in the morning, get a workout in, stuff my face, move around a little bit, and then plant right on the couch and be like, boom, 1, 2, 3, 4 games. Like, now I see. I have been, my eyes have been opened. The scales have been removed. Now I see why y'all love college football so much. So it's been exciting. I'm going to the Georgia game this week.
Man, it's the best.
Bringing my family with me, so I'm excited about that.
Hey, what position is Nick playing, man, your son?
He plays tight end and outside linebacker.
Okay. So
he's a freshman. He's long, Fizzle. He's got a good he's already got a good little shake. He's got a good catch the hands, works the hip. He's got a little speed to power. He's got a little
daddy. He can have to hang up them receiving gloves like his pops.
All bad things must come to an end. Get in the trenches, baby, where the good things happen, where the athletes are with Big Fizzle.
Listen, you know, it worked out well, man. They recruit well and they pay well when you know how to get to that quarterback.
All right, DP, man. Thanks for joining the show. Coming back, we appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. Anytime you need anything from us, just let us know. We always there for you. But we always appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate y'all, guys.
All right,
appreciate
boss.
Appreciate you, man.
Peace.
Hey, man, so that was DP. Always a good interview. Always a good interview. And I've always appreciated him because he's honest, man. He never backed down. You know, you had people from Dog Nation that would say different things. He's not defending Georgia. Oh, my gosh. It was nauseating. I can't believe he's on there not talking up the dogs and Pollock. Come on, man. He was just being honest. And it's funny. Right. You know, and the things that we talk about, that's the truth. You know, I mean, some of the things that he's brought up, even in terms of the last few years, even in terms of now, I brought it up at the very beginning of this show that I'm a little bit concerned about Kentucky.
Listen, the dogs have been good. Mm-hmm. His commentary reflected it.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's been right on them these last few years.
100%. Hey man, but before we go, let's get one more game out the way. Because this game is actually going to probably impact a lot. You got Alabama versus Texas A&M this weekend. Alabama is -2. This is at Texas A&M though. What do you think? I mean, and they've lost their Texas A&M lost their quarterback, but they got Johnson, Max Johnson, that's playing quarterback now, and he actually played halfway decent when he came in. So
you can't really trust A&M sometimes, man. All that talent, they should be everybody's pick. But you know, I don't know, man. I have to watch Bama again. I wonder if Bama's hitting their stride. Milroe looks like he's getting a little better as a passer. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I think – I don't know, man. Let's do Bama. Bama – let's do Bama 28 – A&M 21.
I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say A&M 27, Bama 23. I think that A&M has those hosses up front that could actually get to Milroe and actually stop the run and force Milroe to throw the ball. That's the key to this game. I don't think A&M has anything special on offense. They can be explosive at different times. They got some playmakers if they can get them the ball. But playing at Texas A&M, and that front that can actually get to the quarterback and get and can move some furniture, it's going to cause Bama some issues. And I think, you know, last week Bama didn't have that necessary concern. But you could see that every time that they played a team that's been stout in the trenches, they've had some problems. So I'm actually going to pick the upset. I'm going Texas A&M. Not necessarily an upset. It's 2.5 points, but it's at Texas A&M. It's College Station. But I'm going to go with the Aggies, 27-23. But that's it, Foss. That's all we got on the docket tonight, brother. Talking some football, talking some foosball. And had DP on, but
good show.
Are you going to the game this weekend?
No, I'll be out of town, but I'll be watching.
Okay. I see you picked up the new hoodie.
They actually gave me this. You know, I think I was there during pro day. I think I got it at pro day.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Got me a couple things, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I think I picked up that same hoodie this past weekend. That's why I was like, oh, you know, he got the new joint. Okay, I see what he's doing over there. I know who he's talking to in house. But no, man, it's been great. Can't wait to chop it up next week. Another big victory, hopefully. Coming for the Dogs this weekend. We anticipated, we expected, but as usual, it's always fun to be with you. But until then, go Dogs. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.